Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. I hear him saying something along this line. Have I not said, think it not strange, the fiery trial that has come to try you, as though some strange, mysterious thing had come? For did I not say that in the world you'll have tribulation? But know this, I have overcome the world, saith the Spirit of grace. So do not count yourself out of touch just because He comes. But know this, that when He comes, I have already received from my Father a remedy for you in the midst of your trial. So the fastest way to escape and the fastest way to live always victorious is to rejoice. And again, I say rejoice, saith the Spirit of grace. Learn this habitual place in the springs of your life. Learn it in the summers and in the winters when things are difficult, so that the habit is to remain a place of rejoicing. So no matter what comes or no matter what goes, you're always in a season of refreshing and rejoicing, saith the Lord. Hallelujah.
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 Thank you, Lord.
Do not wait. If you find yourself now with small problems, rejoice. If you find yourself in medium problems, rejoice. And if you find yourself in mega load, rejoice, saith the Spirit of grace. For know this, that at some point you must learn this habitual place. So do not wait for the next refreshing time to begin to practice this. But no matter what state you find yourself in, rejoice. And again I say rejoice. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Glory be to God. Father, we glorify you. Because you see what you do and perceive it even before you do it. It is our meat to do the will of the Father. And I and my Father are one. So it is with everyone who believes, puts their trust in Christ. We love you, Father. Thank you for this mountain moving, breaking of yoke kind of anointing that is in this house. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. Let us stay now and for always, right under this place, the shadow of the Almighty. We glorify you, Father. When he spoke about the weapons of your warfare, you notice one thing that he said was pluralistic. He said, the weapons, not singular, of your warfare, the ones that belong to you and I. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, mean they can't be physically or carnally discerned, but are mighty, mighty through God. Now the Greek actually says they're mighty to God or before God, meaning anything else other than what He sanctifies as a God-given weapon is disqualified. Only what He gives through His Word can change the natural course of things. can change the spiritual course, which changes everything. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty through God or to God for what? The pulling down of strongholds. And He told us by continually writing what strongholds were, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Well, the knowledge of God is not what you and I make up, but it's what's made up in the Word of God, His doctrine, His teachings, what He says about you, what you believe about Him and what you believe about yourself. And anything that comes to oppose that, or opposes your peace or your love walk or your health or your finances or anything else that's in opposition to the mind of Christ. And so the weapons have been employed or been given to us, but whether they're employed is up to us. They're not carnal, but they are mighty. But you can strive half your life, and most Christians do, and strive their whole life and never enter into a good warfare. Paul said, talked about fighting the good fight. Everybody's in a fight, but most Christians don't know how to wage a good one. The good one, the only good fight you'll ever be in. I was in several during high school and different times, and the only good ones I was ever in was when I was winning. The bad ones was when I got knots more than the other guy. But here's the deal. The good warfare is when you're still in it. You can't escape living in this life without a warfare, but you feel like you're winning. And the only way to know that you're winning is to be employing what is Scripture. And what does it do? It casts down imaginations and every high thing. And imagination is I can't improve on it, so I'll say it like Dave says it. It's a system of thoughts empowered by emotions. It's a system of thoughts empowered by emotions. So it's not just a thought. A thought can easily be erased. But when it has a feeling behind it, when there's an atmosphere behind it, when you think about somebody that you kind of disregard, but yet you could cast it off at an even pace, but yet when it comes and it wants to stay and it wants to have a feeling with it, then it's trying to set up house. It's trying to set up an emotion. When disparity about your finances wants to come, you know, the logic of it can be there, but when disparity comes, it's wanting to set up a stronghold. So most Christians fight half their life wanting to do better against what they feel is a weakness in their life and don't employ the weapons. But they're mighty through God to the pulling down, casting down imaginations and every high thing. Well, why is it high? Because it's trying to take your peace that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity. See, here's the thing. He won't do it for you. You can walk around all day long and wonder, when's God going to put an end to this? What? I said it wrong last time. Somebody can help me now. What was the peanut guy who had the cloud around him? Wasn't there one, or was it? I'm just thinking of. But what is his name? Pigpen. I think that was because he didn't take baths. This one will follow you around until you stand up against it. How so? Oh God. He's given us an arsenal. I mean, go to the cabinet and open it up and wonder which weapon do you want to use. And if he stalemates one, here's the thing about being ambidextrous. You're a switch hitter. You can bat right-handed or left-handed. Ambidextrous. David had a group of men. They said that those men that followed him could shoot bow with, I think it said, right hand or left hand. They could sling the stone with right hand or left hand. They were just, I mean, you push them down and get them in one hold and they knew another. You get them in that hold and they knew another. And you fight them with this weapon and they just bring out another. Here's the thing about being spiritually ambidextrous. You learn a $5 word, you better use it. Known it for a long time, just hadn't found the place to use it. He'll come and try to stalemate one. But if you're seasoned in all, if you're rounded, here's the thing that he wants you to know. If you can get as rounded as possible in the weapons. We know the one that we were doing a while ago. We're lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting and worshiping in him. And that creates, as the word emphatically spells out, an atmosphere. He comes to inhabit the praises of his people. And he'll do that at home. And we know that according to Ephesians 4, the word says, do not be drunk with wine whereas in excess, but do what? Be filled with the Spirit. Is that 4 or 5? Be filled with the Spirit. How so? Speaking to yourself psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody unto the Lord in your heart. Well, what happens in that? Well, he describes to us a brief scenario. Don't be drunk with wine, wherein is excess. Well, why would he mention something of the world with something spiritual? Because he was trying to bring a comparison and show a contrast. At the same time, he was saying, look, if you'll worship the Lord, then worship has the same effect on you, but in a powerful, positive sense that becoming drunk in this world has. For you can lose your worries for a short period of time. Becoming drunken and anesthetized with the world's kinds of pleasure. The only thing is, you at some point you got to sober up. And then you're right back to square one. But worship brings the same effect. You can worship yourself right through a trial and get on the other side of it. Just magnify Him, magnify Him, magnify Him, and it'll bring a presence that'll come and sustain you in the hard times. Well, what if He comes and just camps right on that line? What if He does, Pastor? And it's just so dry, and you talk about worship, well, you know this. You can always keep employing that. Don't forsake it. But stand up with the Word of God. For it's a sharp two-edged sword. And pull out that Word and put it in your lap. Because the Word says that great peace have they that love thy law. Great peace. And nothing shall offend them. Wait a minute. Clarify that. Sometimes, no. Some things, no. He said there was an actual state of being in the love of the law, meaning the entire system of the Word, that you could meditate it, meditate it, meditate it, and build yourself up in a place where offenses, that's not just talking about me doing you wrong or you doing me wrong, anything that would come to offend me against the progression of God's Word in my life and the joy and the peace that I'm supposed to be having. So I can take that word and I can slide over from worship or stay in it, but I can take that word and put it in my lap and read it for hours, and it'll build me up and build me up if he's trying to checkmate me on one. I can take that word. I can confess it with my mouth. I can call those things that be not as though they were. Hallelujah. I can stand on that word and I can speak. If he's coming at me in a dry season, I keep on worshiping, but at the same time I put that confession in my mouth and I speak and cause those things that be not to come to pass by a continual atmosphere that I'm speaking. I couple those things. I'm not just, if he's checkmating me over here, then I don't just have to run from that, but I can couple that and I can fuel the flames of that and put more pressure on him than he's putting on me by continually doing everything necessary. Hallelujah. If I put all my eggs in one basket and I'm just learned one way, then I suffer for it. Because Jesus was a man that he's my prototype, and he was so rounded. He was so rounded. We know this. Do you want to pour gas on it? You want to run real fast to meet yourself and get past yourself and absolutely. I mean, I know this. There's two times when I fast. There's the times where I choose to fast and I schedule it based on prayer and I know what I'm going into, and I know that before I ever get there, I can enter into this with joy and prepare myself for it. That's one time. The other time is that I can just drop everything by grace on a dime when he comes to checkmate me and to cause there to be more pressure on me than what I think that I'm spiritually able. And if nothing else is working for me, I know this. My old friend fasting absolutely begins to put more pressure than he can possibly withstand. Why? Because it's a sacrifice. Oh, no. We've been down that road too many times and taught it very emphatically. We know what Jesus said when he was asked by the disciples of John. They said, We fast often. We don't see your disciples fasting. We don't see them fasting. Why not? He said, can the children of the bridegroom mourn while the bridegroom is with them? Rhetorical question. No way possible. He was the bridegroom and his disciples were the children, and they could not enter into what would be called a typical mourning time to the Jews to fast while he was with them, because they had his anointing on them while he was there. But he said, oh, the time will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them. In that time, they'll fast. Now he's gone from us, and all disciples henceforth must enter in to his words, that is to fast. But God bless my Lord and Savior, and I bless him, because he did not leave them hanging just with the knowledge that we should. He actually said, would a man think, and I'm going to paraphrase, of placing new wine into old wine bottles, wine skins? Well, that's exactly what he was about to do. He was about to go away and he was going to put the new nature into old wine skins. And what he was talking about was the life of Christ and the baptism of the Holy Ghost being placed in our mortal bodies. And he used the wineskin to teach a lesson and say this: you wouldn't think about doing that. Why? Because an old wineskin has lost its elasticity. And because of it can't stretch anymore. And if you put new wine, when it ferments, it's going to burst the bottle. But that's exactly what he was about to do. And he said, you wouldn't think about doing that. So here was his remedy. His remedy was this. He was saying, if you put the life of this new nature into old wineskins, without there being some remedy of escape, meaning fasting has the effect. This was all in the same context. When they asked Him, why do they fast? And He said, they'll need to fast after I'm gone. And oh, by the way, this is the reason why. Because fasting provides for your flesh in the same way as if you went for the wine and bought a new wineskin for the new wine to be placed in it. And then He said, both are preserved. Meaning this, fasting has that effect on our flesh. When we feel like we're about to explode and we cannot go on any further. And it feels like the pressures of this world have just vehemently beat on us to where it feels like my flesh is about to pour itself out. This new wineskin, the wine is obviously your testimony. And the wineskin is your flesh bearing witness that your testimony is not true. But when He comes, I've got two fasts. The one I schedule and the one that He, if He wants to schedule one for me, then that's the throwdown time. Because I know this, I'm not going to sit over here in the corner and complain to you about how bad I'm doing if I'm not willing to do something about it. If I'm hurting really bad, and then I'm bleeding all over you, bleeding all over the church. And I know what, some people don't know what to do about it. But if I know, and I got this gaping hole in my side, and it's an offense, and I'm hurting so bad, and I know to do that, I know that fasting will bring my flesh so much under subjection that I don't have a right to open my mouth and complain to you about what He's not doing for me. That's one of the other. That's a powerful quartet right there. But my God, that faithful friend that I have on a daily basis, that I just do when I get up in the morning, when I flush the commode in the morning, when I walk towards the coffee pot in the morning, when I go to bed at night, when I sleep and I wake up in the middle of the night praying in other tongues. Jude 20 says, builds me up on my most holy faith. Hallelujah. And if He tries to just absolutely anchor me in one, I am ambidextrous. I can maneuver and go from one move to the next and keep everyone in perfect harmony through the Holy Ghost. I don't put all my eggs in one basket, but I move and live and have my being in Christ. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. I glorify You. I worship You. Hallelujah. I worship You. I think He'd enjoy having me put Gay on the spot. We'll bring the lights up. Would you bring a couple pages forward? Let's just wield a sword and put the Word in our mouth. And worship God with it and make the devil just as mad as he possibly can be. And I'm going to stand on this. And if you want to stand, you can honor the Word. Gay put a couple in there about finances and just where we're going. Hallelujah. So some of Hallelujah. You want to stand with this. Hallelujah. Glory be to God.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Hallelujah, Lord. We say, Father, Your glory is present here at the Family Prayer Center. The sick are healed. The blind see. The deaf hear. The dumb speak. The lame walk. The dead are raised. And the poor in spirit have the gospel preached to them. Thousands and thousands are born again every week here at the Family Prayer Center. While we are able to get along with each other as the Father works revival in our midst. Father, Your glory fills every service. Every person that comes drinks of your glory. We leave as earthen vessels, filled with your glory, filled with your wisdom, filled with your love, filled with your grace, and anointed by your Spirit. We carry your presence with us. We carry revival around this world. Father, we declare, we preach your gospel. We never settle for man's gospel, only yours. It's the gospel that saves, the gospel that fills, the gospel that heals. Father, that's your gospel, and we settle for nothing less. We are going for the gold. We have what we say. And we say at every service, the lost are saved. People are filled with the Holy Ghost. The blind see. The lame walk. The deaf hear. The dumb speak. The maimed are made whole. And even the dead are raised in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. To your glory, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We declare every captive to be free. Every wheelchair emptied. Every artificial help. They may need them when they come. They won't need them when they leave. We'll have them here as trophies to the glory of Jesus, our healer. All manner of sickness and all manner of diseases are healed. First time, every time, all of them, no exceptions. Jesus, you healed them all then. You heal them all now. That's what we say. That's what we have. In your name, Jesus. Father, there are impartations of your Spirit in this place. We declare these are the most powerful, the most anointed, the most life-changing, the most revival producing services in history. Fresh anointings, fresh giftings, like never before since the book of Acts. Father, it is you doing the works. Therefore, all things are possible. Soul, my soul, I command you, believe this. Immokalee is in revival. Immokalee is in revival. To your glory, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Father, you are provider. Angels have been dispatched to gather in all of the finances and everything necessary for this revival. Things known about and things yet to be revealed, because you are the God who answers before we call. Therefore we say, there is no lack. We operate from abundance. We operate from surplus. We have all, and we abound with many baskets left over. In fact, we have such abundance. We pay the way for many to come and many to go. We send them out on prosperous journeys for God with abundance in a manner fitting, servants of the Lord. Our financial granaries are full. Because our King has found stewards that He can trust, and I am one of them. Father, if you need anything, come to my house first. Whatever you have need of, come to my house first. I've been bought with a price. My life is not my own. I am a first-class servant. Lord, I lay all my possessions at your feet. And I say again, Lord, if you need anything I have, it's yours. I love you, Lord, with all of my heart, all of my soul, all my mind, and all of my strength. And the second commandment is like unto the first. I love my neighbor as myself. Jesus, you are my Savior. You are my Lord. Whatever you ask, that's what I do. I am your servant. I am your bond slave. And by my free will choice, I serve you, Lord, by serving these people that you love so much, because you're trying to save them all, and you'd like to use me to do it. To your glory, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, you can sit or stand. Let's just worship through a song together. Hallelujah. I think we'll be probably just taking up an offering, leaving. I feel like we've gone somewhere. Hallelujah. In the Spirit. But let's just worship at least through one more. Glorify you, Jesus. Would you just agree with me in prayer concerning this time of giving? Father, we exalt you. We examine you as faithful. You're the one who brings forth all things in due season. And we're like a tree that's planted by the river of water. This tree, Lord, it brings forth its fruit in season. And those seasons are always continual. Its leaf also shall not wither, will not wither in this place. And whatsoever we do prospers. The ungodly are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. But Lord, you've marked my way. And I thank you that you'll keep us and guide us in this. And I thank you that even as we've lifted our confessions concerning our finances and all that we stand in, we bless you, Father. Speak now. Guide us in the midst of this. And I call in all of what I confess for this place and for your body. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Ralph, if you have something and you can bring it, then I believe that after this we'll be dismissed. But Ralph, you're doing a good job. And you're just as wonderful as Marcia. But not as pretty, right? But not as pretty. And you can't cook carrot cake as well. All right. Thank you, Father, for the blessing. And we bless them, Lord. Thank you for the harvest. All things are possible. We thank you, bring them all back at the appointed time in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you.